East Coast Radio.
Inspector Andre Stein is part of the Flying Squad, a mobile unit that deals with anything and everything that Durban's criminals have to offer. A cop for 18 years. There's not much he doesn't see patrolling the streets of his city.
That's 9:25 tonight on the Danny Gazzelli Show.
And welcome to, if you have just joined us, it's so cool to have you along. That wraps up 25 minutes of non-stop music. So listen, whether you care about crime or whether you're a cop, this concerns you today. I'll tell you why, because I have such a special guest with me. He's one of the world's toughest cops, and I'm not just saying that, it's the truth. There was a documentary about him and everything. He's one of the world's toughest cops. So without further ado, Mr. Andre Stein, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me, Danny.
Thanks so much for coming through. Eh? I've been so excited since you agreed to this. You know, since I was on my knees begging you to come into the studio.
And all cool.
So listen, before I break down how hardcore your job is, etc., etc., I think there's a little bit of a romantic side of you, because I heard that you were at the John Legend concert last night. Is
yes.
that true?
Yeah, no, we were at John Legend concert. We're actually doing it as a company.
Okay.
Called Striker.
Okay.
Security Services under Jason Stradom and Tristan Subram, and also Titan under John and Conan.
Okay.
It's a company who asked me just to come and help them also with to make Africa a better place, yeah. also a safer place.
Okay.
So, it was good.
So that's what you're doing now that you've retired as a cop?
Yes,
You did it for over 20 years?
23 years, yes.
Wow, Andre, there's so much to talk about. I wish we could make this like an hour show. So listen, the show, The World's Toughest Cops,
yep.
Obviously headed up by Vinnie Jones, right?
Yeah.
What a legend. Did you get to meet him?
No, I didn't really need to meet him at the show. And his television crew and a lady came through to film us. I didn't really meet him that time. Yeah.
Okay. And if you're listening now, I really encourage you to go onto YouTube, type in The World's Toughest Cops and watch it. Because, Andre, when I was watching it, and I watched it about four or five times, it's about 43 minutes long.
Yeah.
I literally felt like I was in the squad car right there behind your shoulder. Yeah. And the adrenaline that I felt just watching was unbelievable. Talk to me about the adrenaline and the emotions that you feel when you're just about to apprehend a really horrible, hardcore criminal.
It comes with your training, Danny. It comes with your training. If you train well and you experience in the job you are doing, it's not really fear. But there is a bit of fear involved, especially when you go for a suspect that's armed. But if you're well trained and you know what you're doing, I mean, you don't have to be scared. The training will take over and then you can apprehend them very easy.
As I watched in the video, you spoke about your kids often, and we're lucky enough to have them with us here today. Gorgeous Dominique and Brandon, which is very, very cool. You speak about them often. Does that play a big role in the way you go into circumstances?
Yes, it does. Look, any policeman out there has got a good family and has got kids and everything. At the end of the day, you don't know if you're a cop, if you're going to see your kids at night, your family at night. It's a dangerous job. You know, it's not like other job you've got. If you make a mistake, if you're a policeman, you can die tomorrow. Another job, you make a mistake, you'll just get, no, the boss, don't do it again. So having a family and being a cop is very harsh. They have to be in your blood to be a policeman. If you don't become a policeman, it has to be in your blood. You're not going to do it for the money or anything else. Unfortunately, if you become a policeman, it's not for the money. It's a passion.
And I watched your video. You shot your first gun when you were like five or six, eh? It is in your blood.
Yeah, I know it was, It was long ago. My dad used to be a policeman too.
Okay.
I was like five and six.
What did you shoot at five?
It was a 7.62 R1, eh?
Okay. And what did you shoot at?
No, just a target.
Oh. I was going to say, all right.
He actually kept it for me.
Okay. But listen, let's get real here, okay? Yeah. I've always wondered if I was a cop, right, whether I would kind of take the law into my own hands, all right? Okay. And surely, due to the inadequate justice system, maybe there's been a time in your career that you have done it or you've wanted to take the law into your own hands. Have you?
Yeah, okay, Danny, sometimes it is, we're going to have to take the law in our own hands, but it's wrong.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Everyone thinks you are taking the law in your own hands is, let's hit the person and leave him outside. But it's actually you become the suspect. If you're gonna actually take your law in your own hands, before the police stands off, you assault the suspect or stab him, whatever, you're gonna become the suspect. And the policeman can leave the suspect. He doesn't have to arrest the suspect then, because you know, assaulted or stab a suspect.
Mm.
So it's not a good thing to take the law in your own hands, but, you know, every person would feel like that, doing that, but it's wrong. You know, I can say it's wrong, but a lot of people out there will say, let's do it because the justice system is messed up at the moment.
And if you're open enough to talk about it,
yeah,
what have you done in terms of taking the law into your own hands?
Maybe when I was younger, when I saw a fight and stuff, I climbed in, I slapped the guy also, you know.
Okay.
That was off duty.
Yes.
Yeah, when I was off duty, there's once, twice I took the law in my own hands and, you know, did my own thing.
Because surely, and I'm speaking from obviously a non-cop, I'm just a radio presenter, but if I had to be in your shoes and I put my mind there and I saw someone that, for example, stole a loaf of bread,
okay.
I would go, you know what, it's wrong, but I understand, you're hungry. You stole bread, you haven't hurt anyone, you ran into a shop, you stole bread, another story.
Yeah.
But then if I came across, and this is something that just makes me angry and shiver inside, someone who committed rape, murder, and he's a serial rapist, I don't know whether I could be on the good side of the law and do things properly.
Look, I think everyone outside that feels like it, especially, look, let's be serious here.
Yeah.
If you're outside now and you see your family get hurt in front of you, any person outside, your family gets hurt, your kids get stabbed, anything, yes, you're going to jump in, take the law in your own hands.
Mm.
But you must remember, the justice system doesn't see it like that.
Mm.
You take the law in your own hands, you murder that person, you're going to get charged for murder. That's a sad thing, you know, you understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's emotions, you know, yes, if a person's, any person out there will feel emotional if your family get hurt or you see a crime happen in front of you, but taking the law in your own hands there will just get you into trouble. At the end of the day, you'll be the man charged and you'll be standing in front of the justice system and you'll be pointed wrong and that guy will get off. That's how we work eventually.
Andre, I have so many questions for you. And if you want to get in touch with Andre and ask him some questions, you can do it. So simple. The WhatsApp number is 061-792-9495. Or go to us on Facebook Live. The name is Danny Gazzelli. We'll be back with Andre in about 5 minutes' time. It's Eminem featuring Rihanna. It's called The Monster, named after my ex, I tell you. It's East Coast Radio, Danny Gazzelli with you through till 12. And thanks so much for stopping by, hey? You and I are chatting to Andre Stank. Part of the world's toughest coughs. The series is incredible. And talking about the series, I had a WhatsApp in here from one of our listeners. Hi, Andre. I've watched the documentary World's Toughest Coughs. Too real and scary. Have you ever had to take a suspect's life? And have you come close to being shot as well? From James Turner in Pinetown.
Yeah. Thanks, James. Yes, I have. Unfortunately, in this kind of a job, you know, there is times that you have to use your firearm and take someone's life just to protect your own. And yes, and I have done that. Something I'm not really proud about, but it's been given to me, you know, it's my life or his, or protect the people of South Africa. So yeah, and I have. And also, yeah, and I've been in a couple of situations where I've nearly lost my life also, couple. And yeah, and it's just thanks to God that I'm still sitting here and... That's it, eh?
How many times have you been shot?
Oh, just once. Scrapnel in the bulletproof, that's it, eh?
In the bulletproof?
Yeah,
vest.
Yeah.
Okay. And how many people, can you put a number at? How many people have you taken?
Oh, no. I can't remember.
Okay.
It's not good, actually. Yeah, I know a couple. Yeah.
Because I actually had a debate with someone yesterday when I spoke about you. And I was saying that a lot, in the movies, everyone has a number. They remember their number. They go, okay, well, you know, it's 16 or 17, and they keep it in their heads. Is that not the case with you?
No, not really. There is a number. I've been in a lot of situations. You know, my crews can vouch for me. You know, we chase cars, we got shot at. You know, a lot of situations. Once the situation is finished, you get blank of it sometimes. It takes a while. And he just, you know, blank off.
But you know, at the end of the day, Andre, I mean, you're tough as they come. You are.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you're a human.
That's it.
So you feel emotion. And does this play on you at night? Do you lose sleep over it? Do you have visions in your head?
Okay, let's say it like this. Policemen out there today, I don't think they get enough help as a policeman. What happens, you know, in situations, it's bad. You must remember, like a policeman shift, he comes on duty, He sees bad things. He goes to maybe a suicide in progress, you know. He sees an accident with children involved. Then 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock comes. Then he's involved in maybe a shootout or armed robbery. You know, his partner gets shot next to him. Or a policeman died. That's the saddest thing ever.
Sure.
And it works in policemen's mind. And you know what? I don't think they get enough out there people to help them and recognition. A person can look at a cop and always say, "Cop, yeah, I know, cops are bad and all that." Maybe just look at a policeman and think, what is he going through in his life? Yes, there is bad apples, I know that, but there's a lot of good apples also out there. What does he go through in his life? I mean, from my side of view, that policeman can go through hell every day and stress. He still has to go home. And my dad always said to me, "Oh, when you go home, just leave your police work at work." So you have to go home. You still got your kids at home, your family. When you go and lie down at night, then it gets back to you. When everything is quiet, then the day gets back to you. You start thinking, "Hey, what happened? Yes, I was in a shooter." It happens too quick. But when you lie down at night and your eyes close, everything comes back.
All right, question in here on the WhatsApp line. How's it, guys? My question is, what is a person allowed to do legally if they are in a situation where someone is breaking into their home and they're being robbed? It's a good question.
Okay, if you get robbed by a firearm, see, there's something called private defense out there. Unfortunately, when someone breaks into your house and he's standing next to you, you cannot use lethal force. You cannot shoot him. When he runs away, you cannot. The law has changed. In private defense, yes, if he comes with you with a firearm, if he's into your house and a firearm and he threatens you, actually, then you must shoot him, and then you can't shoot him in the back, too.
Oh, wow.
You see.
And that whole warning shot thing, is that a
No,
thing?
That's
you don't have to.
That's in the movies, though. Yeah,
okay.
That's no warning shot. Once you use your firearm, it's in self-defense. Anyone out there, even a policeman, you get Section 49, who covers you, but also a policeman's in self-defense. The law has changed a lot, and, you know, that's why some policemen's hands are cut off. You know, at the end of the day, myself and a partner once, we chased a vehicle, and in Mlazi, the vehicle crashed, they shot at us. Unfortunately, I shot the guy twice. He wasn't dead, came to high court. We found firearms in the car. The firearms actually got sent for ballistics, and everything was fine, and actually high court overruled it in a civil case, and went for him. And
they took their side?
Yeah.
Why? Why, Andre?
I don't know. It's, well, that's also one of the biggest reasons I left also. It's, you know,
as a cop, you feel so frustrated.
I feel sorry for the guys out here. I mean, the guys really do a good job. It's
Yeah.
Yeah, the guys try. It's just how it is at the moment. It's nothing to do with... I think it's nothing to do with political... It's just... The people aren't so professional like they used to be. A lot of people just left it and wasn't happy in their job.
Okay. Yeah. We'll be back with Andre in 5 minutes' time. It's Daniel Barron. It's called Private Show. He's got a great name, eh, Daniel? It is the Danny Gazzelli Show. Thanks for being with me. And you and I are chatting to Andre Steyn on East Coast Radio. Former policeman. He served for over 20 years. And he starred in the series World's Toughest Cops. Andre, we've got limited time, unfortunately. Yeah. So I'm just going to dive into the last couple of things that have been on my mind.
Yeah.
Obviously, with you taking lives, has there been one that you've just had full regret for? You've regretted killing that person in that circumstance?
No. Yes or no. No, at the moment, I can't actually remember. You know, at the end of the day, it's you or them.
Sure.
Yeah, it's you or them. You know, it's experience. You know, it's not nice to kill someone. I don't want to come on air, sound like I'm here, you know. It's nice to kill people, but at the end of the day, it's him or you.
Sure.
At the end of the day, it's just with experience. I think when you start off and maybe you're involved in your first altercation, it bugs you, but then when it goes on by years, it's actually you start forgetting about it. Eh?
You've seen so many things in your life. I mean, over 20 years. I mean, it's unbelievable. What has been the one standout situation that's affected you the most? There must be one that stays in your mind.
Oh, yeah, I know there is. I can't remember the date. It was, I think it was a triple murder. It was in Windermere Road. Off Windermere Road, a family, a Indian family got murdered. We actually went the next morning there, myself, my partner, John Chapman. He used to be my partner, Warren Officer Chapman. And... myself and also Warren Officer Rolf, he's still in the police, very good policeman. You know, he's still in there, he's one of the top policemen on earth. Warren Officer Rolf and Swanies and Bramley and all these guys, very good policemen still left. But anyway, come to that, we got to the scene and there was actually a triple murder, and the son, the mother, and the father all got their throats cut. And it was the worst scene I've ever seen, yeah. And that still stayed with me till today.
And that vision's in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you catch the people that did it?
Those years we had serious violent crime. Serious violent crime. They did very good job, you know, before they got disbanded because of, you know, stupid political reasons.
Sure.
They actually caught the guys and the guys got convicted, yeah.
Sure. Final question. The crime in this country at the moment is at an all-time high.
Yeah.
All right. As a former police officer, someone who protects people, how do we combat crime?
Can I tell you, I think it's, you're going to laugh at me if I'm probably going to tell you this. I think it's because of cell phones maybe, yeah. You know, each of us are so busy in our cell phones and, you know, and everything. We can't see crime anymore. We can't report it anymore.
Mm.
And that you can see in the early 90s and stuff, before the phones came, people used to phone progresses through, you know. And people used to know, people is too much in their own world. Maybe start get vigilant and see what's happening around you. Maybe go for that sound.
Mm.
Maybe invest in a good, you know, security company, you know, who can, you know, also be your eyes and your ears. You know, they can also do arrests. You know, security company, any Schedule 1 offence, you know, they can also make an arrest and wait for the police to come. You know, police is limited.
Sure.
Yeah, and venues and, you know, if you have parties and stuff, go in as a good security company, you know.
Sure.
That's about the best I can say.
So you're basically saying that we're too blasé, hey?
Yeah.
Because
I think we...
I agree with you because I was watching your YouTube clip here on the World's Toughest Cops. And it really, you see what happens in Durban, and here I am in my little house in Kloof, sitting all tight, not knowing what's happening in the world.
That's it, yeah.
So basically, be more vigilant.
Be more vigilant. You know, I promise you, the truth is, even policemen, they don't see crime anymore because always on a phone, always on a phone. You know, at the end of the day, maybe put that phone down at night, and maybe when you drive, when it says, don't be on your phone, don't be on your phone, then you can see what's happening around you.
Sure.
And, you know, criminals look at that. They look at people. Oh, it's always on the phone. They're always, you know, you're going to sit on your phone busy talking to your friends at your robot. Next minute, two guns is in your in your face and you got hijacked.
Sure.
Have a look in your mirror. See what's happening around you. Get off that phone.
Thank you so much for your time, hey, really.
Thanks
for your honesty.
Cool.
It's really cool. And if you want to see the video, we did Facebook Live. Go to my Facebook page, Danny Gazzelli, and you can check it out there. I'm going to stop the video shortly. I'll save it, and then you can see exactly what happened for the full interview. And this podcast will be up on Monday afternoon, so you can check it there under my show page on etr.co.za. East Coast Radio.